Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On a beautiful Thursday, we're broadcasting outside. We are a lot like the college class, the small class you had where the professor was like, you guys want to go outside
today? Just start chirping him right before you sit down. You're like, you know what's so nice is outside. It's like,
all right, we'll take class outside
today. Yeah.
So we are over in Bowie, Maryland. We're at the Bay Sox Stadium.
It's gorgeous.
Where they are playing the Harrisburg Senators, the Nats AA affiliate. We're watching James Wood take batting practice. All 6'7" of him right now in the cage. The lefty just stepped in, Danny. What a giant of a kid.
Looks like a tight end got lost. And now is just on the baseball field, just squaring up baseballs. It's just an easy, effortless swing, man. It's so easy to dream on how great this guy could be.
Opposite field, just took one off the wall to left field, working on going the other way in the cage right now. We had Robert Hassel on the show, his outfield mate here in AA, another of the Soto returnees. If you missed that interview, you can grab it as we get off the air today at thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. I mentioned, though, that PFF ranked the top three NFL team, every NFL players in every organization. And so for the Commanders, I think they've got three or four guys maybe that are in the conversation for, you know, podium status.
Yep.
And then maybe some others that could be receiving votes. PFF went with Terry McLaurin as their number one player, John Allen number two, and Montez Sweat third over Daron Payne.
Hmm.
I've got a tier where you could kind of put five guys in a blender. I definitely think McLaurin and Allen have to be on the list, so maybe they're in their own tier. But then I do think, you know, Payne had a big year last year. Maybe I would have thought he would have been number three for them. They've got Sweat above him, and I think Cam Curl is probably in that conversation. But let's just start with, they went McLaurin, Allen, Sweat, top three players on the Commanders. Your initial reaction to that?
I think McLaurin and Allen, with you put enough years and deposits in the bank, right? So the high of Daron Payne last year may have been better than Allen's best season, just for the sake of argument. But you've got more data, more samples, more deposits in that bank to be able to pull from. So I go McLaurin one, Jonathan Allen two. No problem there. Sweat at three, this is where you sort of are, you know, like we talked to Mike Rizzo over the years, right, so many different times, who came up as a scout, driving 500 miles with three different Burger King and Wendy's bags in the front seat of his Nissan Stanza back in the day to see a 160-pound high school shortstop go 1-for-4 and then write a lengthy report whether this guy could be any good or not. You blend those years seeing players with a guy from MIT that's going, the analytical spin rate on this diving line drive was 14.4%, and that was a 70-point. He's like, well, my scout size told me this one thing, but the data says something else. Where does the rubber meet the road? Somebody could watch Montez Sweat and go, God, he beat that guy. He's making tackles for loss. He's hitting the quarterback. He's right there about to explode statistically. And someone else who values production will go, he hadn't been as productive as Cam Curl or Daron Payne. What are you guys talking about? Eye of the beholder type stuff there. So I'm high on Sweat. I would put him behind those other two guys, though.
I think it's really interesting to debate the two because they chose to pay Daron Payne.
Yep.
They may still well pay Montez Sweat as well. That's very much a possibility and could happen. But they've already paid Daron Payne $22 million per year. And I just think it's a really compelling conversation, right? Like, we talked about this through a different lens a couple years ago when they had drafted first-round picks on the D-line. Allen, Payne, Sweat, Young, they're not going to be able to pay them all. probably have to pick one end and one tackle. Well, they immediately have paid two tackles.
They have.
They have not yet paid an end. We always compare Sweat to Chase Young in terms of who you're going to pay. And I just don't think that's much of a conversation right now. If Chase Young has a much better year, if he's productive and breaks out and has a prolific campaign, then we can open that debate back up. And you're only going to pay one of them, so who's it going to be? But in the meantime, Montez Sweat has been extremely productive. Chase Young is not. And if you pay one of those two guys, it's got to be the guy that has produced and looked like, you know, legitimate,
right,
quality, high-end, 10 sack a year potentially as he settles into his prime type edge. And that's Montez Sweat. But I don't often, and I haven't really, debated Payne versus Sweat. And in this context, I think it's super interesting. Who's the third best player on the Commanders? If we all agree that McLaurin and Allen, because of, as you put it, like the deposits,
yep,
the many years that they've both been premium players of their position. Heck, they've got Terry McLaurin eighth among all wide receivers in football at this point. Eighth. That's where PFF ranked him.
Yep.
John Allen is a top 10 defensive tackle, maybe even top five or six, depending on who you ask. So you separate them and you say, okay, so those are the top two. Who's the third best player on the team? Is it Payne? Last year probably was. He had 11 and a half sacks. I personally think that's the high watermark. I think there's a statistical regression coming where he settles back in somewhere between what he was before last year and what he was in 2022. Maybe it is Sweat. We haven't mentioned Cam Curl, really, though. I mean, in terms of evaluation from PFF and their grading and their metrics, you could put him in the same conversation
100%.
As those other two guys.
Now, not as flashy. You're not going to see some of the counting stats, right? Like, he's not sacking the quarterback a million times. It's, you know, the turnover numbers aren't insane, but when you start to look at that, the value, the productivity, you could put him in six different positions, basically. He's lined up all over the football field. The versatility helps. A great tackling machine and in-the-box safety, a guy that's pretty good in coverage. Number one rated, again, according to PFF last year. There's a lot to like in that regard. So, to me, he might be third. I love Payne more than you, and I think that's a reasonable discussion to have. I think he evolved. I think he's grown into a guy that went from good run stuff or occasional disruptor. We saw flashes of that at times. Think of that playoff game against
Tampa.
You think
he's going to have 11 sacks every year?
No, but I think he's going to be disruptive every year.
Well, so do I. I mean, then we were...
Yeah, 11 and a half is the high, maybe the high watermark, but again, we... I like.
He was disruptive before. Like, he doesn't need to have 11
sacks.
But not
like this. Not that much.
I agree. Last year was a different level.
I think he'll settle into 7.5, 8, because other guys are going to eat too. I think Allen will always be right there. And, you know, we think of a tremendous difference between an 11-sack season and an 8.5 sack season. Well, it's not really. You know, think of the Dana Stubblefield, touch a guy when he's already down, you know, collecting your half sack that way. The real difference is when you start to get into the teens. So for me, Payne, I think, broke out and he added to his game. And I think they saw that same thing and said, you know what, we're gonna pay that because Bird in Hand's better than maybe two in the bush. But for Sweat versus Curl, it's easier to see Montez Sweat's impact, right? When he's tipping the pass to himself against the Cowboys in 2020, when there's a tackle for loss, when he's hitting the quarterback, harder to see Curl's impact.
I guess I'm just surprised they went with Sweat over Payne because Sweat has not yet had the monster season.
Right. That hadn't happened.
And you would think, if no other reason than recency effect, like Payne would get that nod now. Sweat hasn't done it yet. I do think, and watching the two guys constantly, as you just put it, yeah, I'm not surprised. PFF, really, really smart, evaluating every play, grading things the way they do. They got it right, maybe, in Sweat being above them. But I would imagine, and we'll see what you guys think on the MGM National Harbor listener lines on this, I'd imagine the average Commanders fan would put Payne over Sweat, I think. I think if you ask the average Commanders fan who are the three best players on this team, they would say McLaurin, Allen, Payne. Probably in that order, but yep, they may move some things around.
Maybe Curl slides in for some.
Possibly,
yeah.
Yes. 800-636-1067 if you don't react to that. Who else? Like, those are the five guys, right? There's nobody else that's in that conversation. Who else would you say, though, has a path or a trajectory to possibly ultimately being in this conversation? Is there someone that you think, from a sheer upside standpoint, that could be a top five player on the team in the next couple of years?
So I've got two names, and I wonder how you feel about these names. I'm not saying they are now, but I'm saying I see the path.
The point, right, is, like, we're forecasting out.
Easy one, first-round pick last year, Jahan Dotson. I could see Dotson being a really, really, really good player in this league.
Yeah, so let's talk ceiling for him. When he was drafted, I thought probably a slot guy. if he plays outside like they say he's going to, maybe the ceiling comes down a little bit. He'll be an outstanding, you know, interior slot receiver, kind of shifty, making people miss. I now think he could be as good as Terry McLaurin almost. And if that's true, just based on what we saw last year, we're talking about a top 10 wide receiver in the league. I really love that pick looking back.
Yeah.
And not only that, do they deserve a lot of credit for it. The person, the player, like we've had him on the show multiple times. He is kind of a McLaurin light.
Gregarious.
Big
sharp,
personality, yeah. Like worker. The only question I have is, we've never dealt with this with McLaurin. Dotson was on kind of team always banged up last year. Maybe that's just a couple of bad luck items over the course of your rookie year. But also, it's the only sample we have one year where he had this and then he had that. Next thing you know, 6 weeks have gone by and he either hasn't been playing or has kind of been a shell of himself. But I'll tell you what I said a few weeks ago for people that weren't listening. There was a highlight package circulating on Twitter, on the internet, and I just stumbled into it. This was maybe 2 weeks ago one night, and it was like a 4.5-minute Jahan Dotson rookie year highlights, and I watched it. And I watched every play like you guys did all season long. I remember thinking, this kid's legit, being blown away at times. Looking back again at last year, like removed from it now, he made ridiculous plays.
A touchdown against the Giants, man. I put that one on repeat.
That was crazy. How about the catch? I want to say it was against the Giants. It might have been the Cowboys. It was the very end of the year at FedEx Field on like a 50-yard deep ball. It was a Heinicke throw, so it was the Giants. And he just mossed a dude. Like, complete adjustment. Ball's in the air. He kind of, at full speed, adjusts.
Well, he had to come back to
the defender.
It?
Yeah, he made
to come
like
back
a,
to the ball that Heinicke threw?
That's funny.
Thank you.
Made like a leaping catch.
I doubled it because the first one he didn't get. And I was like, yeah, he caught it.
I was like, what are you doing to me here? But he made an outstanding plays like that. McLaurin makes those. No one else on this team over last 10 years does.
So,
not one other player on this team over years makes those catches. He does routinely.
Yeah, so he was saddled with the same thing we've seen here, but at the college level at Penn State, where they couldn't have anybody throw the football down the field to him. So he ended up close to the line of scrimmage.
How high could
lot.
That guy have been drafted?
Seriously.
If he was in an offense run by like Lincoln Riley or some offensive, like if he was at Bama. Where does that guy get drafted if he's in the SEC?
Top 10, I think.
You know,
sure.
On an offense with a real quarterback.
So that one's probably easier. That's low hanging fruit, right?
Sorry, Sean Clifford.
There's the path. The second guy, I think, is Benjamin St. Juiced. I think there's a chance there. I am not predicting. I'm not calling my shot. I'm saying I think that's the guy that we could start to think of as, have we realized that this dude's a badass, that this dude's their number one corner, that this guy is. Defenses aren't throwing towards him, that there's fear there, that his coverage rates are that good. The length, the strength, he's quick enough to play inside, outside. He could do a little bit of everything. They were running today at nickel. Jack Del Rio talked about having some versatility there and lining guys up all over the place. Early signs point to, yes, good pick, you got it right, NFL starter. I think there may be something special there. Again, I'm not calling my shot. I'm just saying I think there's a path.
I'm so high on St. Juiced. I love him. He is, to me, like what I would design the laboratory at corner with that length, the ability to flip your hips and move, and the speed and the twitchiness with size, right? If we're talking, I mean, yeah, maybe. If we're saying top five on the team, like we're not saying he's got to be an all-pro, right? We're saying a couple years from now, we're making a list of the best players on the team. I'll say this. Nobody made bigger strides last season, in my opinion, on this roster than Benjamin St. Juiced from a year before. And I still will go hard in the paint and argue with anybody, tooth and nail, that he had a hell of a preseason the year before. People forget. But if you go back from before all of his injuries, because he was hurt a ton in his rookie year.
We kind of went, hey, do we have something here?
In the preseason,
yeah.
He flashed like a strobe light over and over and over again. And then the year started. He was banged up, kind of out of sight, out of mind. Did some okay things, but you know, did some normal rookie stuff too where he would get beat. I thought last year, he was excellent, even in games where he gave up numbers, where a PFF site or you know someone that evaluates him might look at it and go, ugh, a lot of catches, a lot of yards. Like, remember the Vikings game? Justin Jefferson ate his lunch a couple times. Sorry about your luck. That's
Was it a game?
He also was constantly draped around Justin Jefferson. There was a PI. There was a touchdown that Jefferson scored where the basically like knocked the ball up in the air. You know, he was always kind of right around Justin Jefferson. He had a PBU in the end zone on what could have been another Jefferson touchdown on a ball dropped in the bucket by Cousins where he's covering him stride for stride. Like, he was, I thought, really, really good in that game against probably the best wide receiver in the league with Davante Adams. And after the game, you look at it and you're like, oh, you gave up too much. Did you? Because he made some great plays. They basically, they put him on an island. It was the first time they did it where they said, hey, you're traveling all game long against a really good wide receiver. We're not helping you that much. Good luck. And they did it against Justin Jefferson, and he held his own.
So now, not exact, hard to find these exact numbers and grades. This is all with a grain of salt and caveat because we're assigning, you know, a catch or not a catch to, if you're the closest defender. Maybe they were in zone, and we don't know whose responsibility was what. But over the course of 17 weeks, maybe these things kind of tend to equal out. Benjamin St. Juste allowed a 47.7 completion percentage on throws intended to his receiver. That, to me, is it tells you everything. That's outstanding. That is really, 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 really excellent. Again, they're playing a ton of zone. So, you know, again, who deserves credit for all of it? But by far and away led the members of the secondary in that category. But conversely, Bobby McCain allowed 80% completion percentage.
Well, I'll put it a different way. Last year's defense, who did you feel best about covering a good receiver? Fuller? St. Juste. William Jackson, right? I mean, the answer was him kind of from week one on. Now, Kendall Fuller had two pick sixes in as many games at one point. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like he had a bad season. I thought he did some okay things, but
he's better. People like to beat him up. I think he's better than he gets credit for.
Yeah, he has been up and down. I think the season before last was a struggle. I thought last year was really good. If you look at overall defensive grade via PFF, he was sixth on the team last year. Ahead of guys that play a lot like Derek Forrest, Cole Holcomb, Casey Tuhill. I mean, behind your best players, yep. Sweat, Cam Curl, John Allen. I think that he is serviceable. He's solid. I think you want him to be your second-best corner. And I guess what we're saying is maybe he's becoming that because maybe St. Juste is coming into his own in that regard. But they needed more help there.
Yep.
We knew that all offseason.
So they got it, I guess,
and
huh?
They did it in the draft, rounds one and two, going to the corner well with Emmanuel Forbes, who, by the way, is getting rave reviews for what it's worth at OTA. Seems like he is breaking up and intercepting passes constantly.
Is that your answer, by the way?
And Quan Martin. So I came up with Forbes, but I think it's too easy. It's convenient. In other words, we haven't seen him play yet, so he hasn't had a chance to stink, and yep. He was just the first-round pick. Mm-hmm. It's like that. That and a couple bucks will get you a box of donuts. I wanted to go a little more creative, so I'm going Derek Forrest. Derek Forrest made a hell of a lot of plays last year. First year as a starter.
Huh.
Derek Forrest last year with Cam Curl formed a really good tandem. Again, I think it's bullish. It's a little harder to explain away, but how many times last year did he make a big hit or have a big play in the secondary?
He seems to be all over the field.
Love him.
You know?
And another guy. We say this about Curl, was a seventh-round pick, mid-round pick,
yeah.
Low expectations. Like, they deserve credit. Found him, developed him, and they've done that, especially on defense, I would say. But they've done that maybe not to the extent that the teams that are competing for Super Bowls do, but certainly better than they had for a while. We're talking about up-and-coming players now. We've kind of transitioned to with the Commanders. But the conversation actually began, if you're just jumping in the car, just tuning in, PFF ranked the three best players on every NFL team. And for Washington, they went with McLaurin 1, John Allen 2, and Montez Sweat 3 over Daron Payne and Cam Curl. Do you agree with that top three on this team? And is anybody else worth discussing in this podium conversation? We're Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Disagree. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Imagine Dragons. Thumbs up, Ryan. Let's go. The more the merrier, my friend. Danny's still salty from when we saw them at the Cap Stanley Cup game.
Do I have a button that I can hit that just says nubs? That would be the button I would hit. Those guys are so nubs.
Radioactive is silly.
It's such
that,
a pedestrian
that song. Is
song.
A banger.
It is not. Like, it's not, though, in a way. You know what I mean? Like, I hear what you're saying, but it's, like, not.
If I said things like that song slaps, I would say that song slaps.
Oh.
But I don't say things like that. So I'm not going to say
Imagine
that.
Imagine Dragons.
Absolute banger.
In what capacity did you guys see them perform? Before the Stanley Cup Finals. Game two.
So Caps, Vegas Golden Knights. Golden Knights out in Vegas do everything very big. So we had great pregame.
Yep.
Intermission show. I think they probably had performers between the first and second and the second and third.
They're just all,
post-game.
Like, three dudes juggling other dudes, you know, like trapeze artists. But before game two, this dude, they come out and they're like they roll a little weird carpet thing
so
out.
So it's pretty much been 5 years to the day.
Yeah, it's actually
since
like right
you and
right
I
now.
Saw Magic
That's right.
Dragons.
And so here comes this dude in capri pants. By the way, underrated part of that, how terrible it was.
It looked great.
And he's like, whatever it takes. And they wanted like this huge pop, and like they got no pop from the crowd. And
that is not true.
Everyone's waiting for the game to start. There was no juice behind where he's like. Doing the move, you know, like when you're a musician, like you're like head bobbing with it, you're like whatever it takes, like it's going to be a huge reaction, and everyone like tepid applause at best.
Categorically,
they're all just
untrue.
Looking at their watch.
I don't buy that at all. I've seen them live twice, and the crowd is into it the entire
time. Of course,
time.
You know what the crowd was doing that night? Going nuts.
They weren't at an Imagine Dragons show. They were at a Stanley Cup Finals
right.
game.
But,
it mattered.
So Danny was mad. He was already mad before they came out. You were mad because they had just done the big
the Shakespearean five act play. With fire arrows and lies.
It was great.
Yeah, it was awesome.
What a wonderful environment for a hockey game. That was the night, by the way, that we saw the save.
The save.
Right after Imagine Dragons performed.
So do you remember like, how that went?
I do. Braden Holtby sprawled out. His stick made an unbelievable save. And then the Capitals won the Stanley Cup and saved the world.
So we're like in the press box. And you remember the scene in Austin Powers, the second one, Spy Who Shagged Me, right? Where Scott is now out.
Scott.
And Dr. Evil's going, it's too crowded in here. Everyone out. Not you, number two. Not you, henchman. Not you. Not you, Frau. And it's like everybody but Scott.
Right, the last. And he says like nine people.
Yeah.
Don't leave. And then Scott's like pointing at himself. And he's like, yeah, you can go.
Yeah. Yeah, not you meaning me. So Dara and I are in the press box, and it's like...
Well, I was not.
Yeah, because you had seats with your lady wife.
I spent more money on those two games on tickets than I think I've spent on tickets for every single game I've ever been to the rest of my life. Me and my wife went and sat, not by the ice, by the way, about we were not far from you in the press box. We were in the upper level.
Well,
those tickets were not cheap.
No. And they were sort of like people just kind of kept implying there's not any more room. And we're just sort of standing around looking and like people sort of boxing us out. And finally someone was like, there's an auxiliary stanchion. You have to go through. We were doing like a Nicolas Cage National Treasure bit to find this place. Like we had to go all the way down, then all the way up, and then midway down a certain staircase.
Were you watching on TV or were you able to?
Well,
I
mean,
still in the
right
arena.
Before the game starts.
No, but I'm saying the auxiliary press, was it a? Did you now have to watch like downstairs or were you still watching?
So they built this like, it looked like it was assembled that day with like tech, like Lego Technics and like barely hanging on. This like temporary riser that we sort of had to like scaffold up. There was a ladder on the outside, like these weird rickety stairs with no handrails on the side. And like there were a handful of like the nub journalists that weren't real journalists that were kind of stuck over there because they did the, not you, DC media. Not you, Vegas Golden Knights fans. Not you, Healthy Scratches. Like, it was everybody else. And Adarna had, like, over there by ourselves, like, horses' asses. So we were on the opposite end of the arena, the furthest place away.
So embarrassing.
For it. Yeah. We were there by where, like, the band played.
The drum line?
Yeah, remember the drum line in between the first and second
of
period?
Of course.
They're, like, in our laps, and it was the loudest thing in the world.
That was 5 years
yeah.
ago.
I was like, I want some water. And Dara's like, so you have to go 8 miles from here.
You know, this will get too deep too fast, but I...
We're in it now.
No, but you don't know where I'm going here.
Okay.
So that was 5 years ago.
Yep.
Multiple of those years was heavily affected by and or completely overtaken by COVID.
By the COVIDs.
In some ways, like, my life is now before and after COVID. Like, when I think of things, I go, was that pre or post COVID?
Dude.
And I kind of just, for that year at home... I don't know, man. It was like I just let a year go. Like, physically, I gained so much weight. I just let a year go where I was just like, I was working at home, right? It was not like I stopped grinding, but like lost almost every job I had. I mean, and I had it better than most people. Like,
we're
lucky. We still do this gig. We get paid well to talk to our friends about sports. I'm not complaining about that. But like, it's just crazy to think about. That was 5 years ago. It feels like it was a year and a half ago. I don't want to get too deep, but like multiple of those years just went by like that, where I was just like sitting in my basement. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Like, so weird, man.
Like, you, like, we're in Vegas.
What a weird experience
for the Stanley Cup. Now, so think about that sentence, right? Like, as someone that grew up going to Landover, Maryland to watch Pat LaFontaine ruin every dream I ever had, right? Or watch Mario Lemieux and Ron Francis and everybody else just crap on Christmas. The worst things ever. Just these gut wrenching defeats. In my Capitals fandom. A, Vegas has a team. Go figure that. And I'm in Vegas for the Stanley Cup Finals for my job. Eating at the Wynn Buffet. Like, what life is this, you know?
And if you would have told me while we were out there, hey, the Nats are going to win the World Series next fall.
BT Dubs. You just wait about 16 months from now. Watch this. Oh, by the way, DC has a baseball team.
Unbelievable. All right, let's go to the phones. The MGM National Harbor listener lines are yours at 800-636-1067. If you want to get in, you can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson and at Funny Danny as well. So PFF ranked the top three players on the Commanders. They went number one, Terry McLaurin, number two, John Allen, number three, Montez Sweat, no Daron Payne, no Cam Curl. How do you feel about that? And could anybody else on this team currently end up working their way into the top three over the next couple of years? Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville to get going.
Chris,
what's up, Chris?
Grant, I don't know what's worse, your taste in music or your banal, bland taste in food. You're like cakes. You live in such a box.
Guy, what do you know about my musical tastes?
You just said you like Imagine Dragons.
That's silly. That song bangs.
They're the modern version of Nickelback for millennials.
Oh, I'm so
sure. He loves Nickelback, too, by
Nickelback
the way.
Nickelback stinks.
Everywhere Nickelback is.
Literally proved my point. I can't believe you guys haven't brought up Dax Milne. I mean, come on.
That's a great point.
Good thing.
By the way, Dax Milne, real quick, Chris, and I know that you hate when Danny and I do this, but it's your fault because you brought him up. I saw a video the team put out yesterday of, like, all their players answering the question of the day, and it's always something wacky.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What's your favorite baked good?
Would
or
you rather fight 100 squashes?
But they're, like, walking off the field. And they're, like, staring at a small sign, and then they have to answer it. Mm-hmm. It's always, like, shot from the angle where they're looking at the sign.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. Dax Milne, incredible looking guy.
God, it's
absolutely has to be in our top five.
Really? Five? Who's he bumping off? Who did you just kick off just now?
Well, we don't have five yet. We've only had four.
My number one seed right now is Stone Garrett, actually, in the current D.C. market.
Okay, so Stone Garrett's in our top five.
So we've got Tom Wilson, obviously.
Tom Wilson.
Corey Kispert.
One and two.
Now we have Stone. I wanted to put Lane in the conversation.
I think Lane is – Dax Milne's better looking than Lane Thomas. Dax Milne might be three.
Wow.
You got to be a starter, though, in my opinion. Well, Stone Garrett's not a starter. But in all seriousness, you guys already answered the question. Jahan Dotson, I think, is actually the third best player of the team right now. And no offense to Terry, but I think he's going to give Terry a run for his money as the premier wide receiver on the team. I think he runs quick, crisper routes. I think he's got possibly better hands. Terry just wants it more than anybody else on the field, which is not something that you can quantify, and it's great. He reminds me of Garcon a little bit in that regard. But I think Dotson actually is the more naturally gifted receiver.
I think Dotson is...
Appreciate you, dude.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, bud.
I think Dotson is on the verge of...
On the verge of what, Grant?
Danny pops me. Oh, man.
What?
You got me that time. Danny just pointed at something really funny. I won't tell you guys.
I apologize. I distracted
you.
But
you're better than that. Well, you are. You're better than that.
This is going to sound bad. I am actually glad he's here for the versatility of the offense. But if there was no Curtis Samuel, I would feel way better about Dotson's production.
I agree.
In other words, there's just too many mouths to feed.
But back to what I was saying when you did the thing.
Yeah.
Dotson's on the verge to me of everyone in the league knowing how good he is. Like in this moment right now, I think if you are a Commanders fan, last year you saw, holy shnikes, this guy is legit. This guy is a bona fide starting wide receiver already early in his rookie year with a chance to be a top 25 wide receiver in the next year or two. I really believe there's top 10, top 15 potential, and I'm not exaggerating. I think Chris is right. I think he is super smart. He is a great route runner. He has spectacular hands. He makes competitive circus-type catches. Like, what was one of the things we heard a lot coming out of college at Penn State? He high catch point.
You saw those one-handed catches.
Prized the ball
traffic,
away from defenders. Like, in traffic, as good as anyone I remember in recent history on this team, and that's with McLaurin. I'm not trying to shortchange Terry. Terry's unbelievable. It's really, really hard because you have to be consistent week in and week out to get to his level. I think Terry's kind of MO is excellent all the time. That's like the hardest thing to be. But Dotson might have the same level of excellent in his game. I just don't know if he's going to be able to do it all the time.
Everybody's max is turned up, right? Everyone's giving you their best. I think they're pretty close. But you're 100% right in that there aren't as many bad days. Terry McLaurin is always excellent.
Who is deserving of being in the convo in the future for the Commanders among their top three players? And what do you make of PFF saying Montez Sweat over Daron Payne behind John Allen and Terry McLaurin? That's the question we're asking you at 800-636-1067. You're going to hear from Eric Bieniemy, his first lengthy press conference since getting to work with Sam Howell and the rest of the Commanders today. You'll hear some Q&A with Bieniemy right at the top of the hour in 20 minutes on The Fan. Grant and Danny live in Bowie, home of the Bay Sox, where Friday they've got 90s night fanny pack giveaway for 750 fans ages 13 and up. 6 p.m. gates for a 7:05 first pitch. We're Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. NBA Finals start tonight. Denver Nuggets at home. First ever NBA Finals playoff game for them. They are hosting the Miami Heat. Nobody thought Miami would be here. The 8 seed has run the table in the East, and they will look to play underdog successfully one last time, as they are 9-point favorites right now in game one on the road in Denver tonight. Did you see Monty Williams got a new contract yesterday?
A substantial contract for Monty Williams. By the way, excellent. Excellent job by Detroit, and good for Monty Williams.
So it's a hell of a hire. I mean, he's a great coach. It's so much money.
Yeah.
6 years, $78.5 million.
He'd be their second highest paid player, I think.
Oh, it's got to be, yeah. I mean, you're talking about not only the Pistons, who don't spend money right now on players, but he is the fifth highest paid coach in sports. In terms of annual average value in professional sports right now, five highest paid coaches: Bill Belichick, $20 million, Sean Payton, $18 million, Pete Carroll, $15 million, Sean McVay, $14 million, and Monty Williams, $13.1 million. Now, I know this dude is really, really good. Local guy, local ties, I should say, 51 years old, fired by the Suns last month, was the coach of the year in 2022. 194 and 115 over four seasons in Phoenix. He's been really good, really successful. Is he on this level?
I have no idea.
Is he this good? $13 million, like the McVay, Sean Payton, Bill Belichick kind of tier of coaches? I was just stunned by the amount of money. And Detroit obviously had to pay a
– and this is my point.
We're terrible tax.
Yes.
So if you want him, you just got to pay a lot more than everyone else does. But, man, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. This is a – hey – we haven't been serious for a few years. We have been tanking like nobody's business. Soon as, you know.
You call him with a market value offer, he hangs up on
you. He's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not hanging out with, I'm not babysitting your children. But when you start overpaying to that degree, you're basically asking the world to take you seriously. And I know some people won't. They'll just go to sort of roll their eyes and scoff. This might be the guy before the guy. In other words, I don't want to sit there and you know, the instant Cade Cunningham stubs a toe, they're like, you should probably sit out for 6 months. Please don't play basketball again. We need to make sure that we're bad. And we now need to start turning the corner and getting something out of this rebuild. So you bring in an adult that's got bona fides, that's a hot candidate, and you had to overpay to do that. I love it, frankly.
I want to play a little game on Grant and Danny, if we could. Ryan, back in our D.C. studios with the rest of us out here in Bowie, Maryland. Fire up our game show music, please. Danny, the game is going to be called How many of the highest-paid coaches in the NBA can Danny Ruggier name? How many of the highest-paid coaches in the NBA can Danny Ruggier name? I have taken the liberty of looking up the top five highest-paid coaches in basketball.
Jeez.
I just told you Monty Williams is number one.
Yeah, so I'm going to say Monty Williams.
You're off to a great start.
I'm on the spot.
So now two through five. I want – you get three guesses. I want three of these four to be – the top five highest-paid coaches in the sport.
Here we go. I'm going to start Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr makes $9.5 million in Golden State, the third highest-paid coach in the NBA. Golden State, 2014, hired him. Four NBA titles. 2016, he got him where he needed to go.
I'm going to say Greg Popovich.
Greg Popovich is number two on
the
list.
Here we go.
Five NBA championships, three Coach of the Year awards, 22 consecutive playoff berths from 98 to 2019.
I don't know.
$11.5 million a year.
So my next guess would have been Doc, but Doc is canistered. So I don't think it's going to be Doc. He's been in seat for a long time. He's been really successful. I'm going to say Spoelstra, but I don't really believe it.
Eric Spoelstra's number four on the list.
Look at Danny Ruggier.
Danny.
Would you look at this?
Ruggier. On a heater.
Look at that.
$8.5 million a year. Started as a video coordinator in 95.
The videographer.
Titles in 2012 and 2013. He's back in the championship series. So, Danny, you could go clean sweep here. In the most impressive game show run in show history, if you can name the number five guy on this list.
This one I'm not getting.
And I'll even sweeten the pot. I'll give you $100 if you pull this off.
All right. All right. I got a name that jumped to mind. I got one. I have no idea if it's right. I'm going to go Tom Thibodeau in New York.
It is not Tom Thibodeau.
Damn.
I was kind of nervous when you were confidently saying
I wasn't confident at all. No. I just thought
Rick Carlisle, the 63-year-old, led the Mavs to the title in 2011.
Oh,
coach of the year in
2002.
Four-year deal signed in 2021. $7.25 million per year. So Monty Williams, the number one highest paid coach in basketball now over Pop, Kerr, Spo, and Rick Carlisle.
There it is. I would not have pulled Rick Carlisle.
Let's go to Vic in Akakik, who's been waiting patiently.
Hey,
wants
Vic
to jump in on the Commanders. What's up, Vic? How are you, buddy?
G baby, Manny Danny.
What's the good word?
Hey, man.
Nothing much. So, the PFF, I think they got it right with Montez and Jonathan Allen and Sweat. I said Sweat. With his name escapes me. Don't kill me for it.
Payne, you mean?
So Jonathan Allen takes up a lot of both A gaps, and he plays with much gap integrity. He plays consistently with gap integrity, and he's strong inside, which allows De'Ron Payne to get busy at the three tech. And it's a lot like Warren Sapp was able to do with Tampa Bay and East Miami for years. De'Ron Payne cheats gaps at times. So De'Ron Payne gets upfield. He runs behind blocks instead of getting in front of him and taking away the cutback lane. Because Jonathan Allen is doing his job, every play is like the Terry McLaurin excellence. This is what you get when you have when somebody is as strong as De'Ron Payne and as athletic as De'Ron Payne. My up and comer is Jamin Davis. If you'd have told me this 2 years ago, I'd say heck no. But Jamin Davis has sold me. He has my attention.
Here's what I'll say. We're up against the clock, Vic. We got to jump. I appreciate you. I will tell you that I feel way better about him than I did a year ago. He may have improved second most on the team behind St. Juice last year because he went from
most to improve
from that guy's not a starter to, okay, this works. This is fine. Still always going to be kind of a disappointment in the top 20. But I don't share your optimism of stardom or excellence. I just think he's become a pretty solid linebacker, which I will accept. After where we were,
yeah.
For him to just be I'm not going to worry about him every week. He's a plug-and-play Cole Holcomb-ish linebacker. Cool. That is a win compared to where we were. Eric Bieniemy hoping to stockpile wins with offensive play calls that lead to points this year. Met with the media today. You will hear what he had to say next on G&D right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.